Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Bob.
All right. Everybody ready?
We are ready.
Is everybody ready?
We're ready.
All right. Young man back there in the back with a microphone, stand up a minute. That microphone gives you all the power. You pick who you want to open us this morning. If you'd open us up, please. Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for this day, and I pray that this Bible study goes well. Amen.
Pray it goes well. Hold on. Do you know something I don't? I'm getting nervous now. All right. If everybody can, Sammy, if you can. Sammy, stop. Before you go. No, stop. There was a question asked last week. We'll start with this and get this out of the way, right? In Matthew. No, what was it? What was the verse? I got it here. Don't worry. I got it. Yes, 1 Corinthians 15, right? Ed had used it, and he was making one point with it. But being the person that I am, and have learned a lot from Pastor Don on how to be obnoxious and pull something out and give homework to everybody else. And the question was, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, who wrote that? Paul, thank you. He is starting out, or this part of what he's doing is talking about the resurrection of Christ, and it says that on the third day, according to the scriptures, he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. All right? Then he goes on, talks about other appearances of Christ at that time. My question was, the 12. Who's he talking about? Of course, the 12 disciples, 12 apostles, right? But there was only 11. If we know our scriptures, it was on the day that they had made the decision to crucify, and Jesus was found guilty, right? It says at that time, Judas went out and kind of hit him what he had done, and he hung himself. He took the money and threw it back into the temple and went out and hung himself. Yes? Jesus. Judas hung himself. Jebus. One of the guys. But Judas hung himself, correct? So Judas was dead when Christ returned, correct? Is that right, Sammy? You don't argue with any of that, do you? But Sammy, I asked that question, right?
Yeah.
And what was your answer?
That it was, my answer was,
Yeah, it's on.
Hello, can you hear me? All right.
It's on.
My answer was that the...
Could you turn it up a little, Betty, please?
The name, the 12, like when they referred to them as a group, was actually a name of the specific group. And that was kind of my thought on it at the time.
Okay, that was your first mistake, thinking. Can you prove that?
Yes and no.
Yes, you can, or no, you can't.
You can't say it's an absolute because there was other instances in Scripture where they were referred to as the 11, but the name of the group was also always referred to mostly as the 12.
All right, very good,
Sammy.
And
a lot of Paul's writings, it was referred to as the 12, but when people who were before Paul wrote after Judas, it was referred to as 11 a lot of the time.
My question to that was, I believe, if you read the next sentence down, you know, that sounds very legitimate. But if you read the next sentence down, he appeared to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time of Somerville. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. Same guy writing, same paragraph. If that was the case, why did he change his style here all of a sudden? He referred to them as a 12 in one sentence. Two sentences later, he refers to them as all apostles, right? All the apostles. If what you're saying is true, why didn't he use the same phrase there? If that was the phrase that he uses in the given phrase.
It's a good question.
No, the question is, do you have a good answer?
My answer would be that is not a, that's not a chronological list. It's not a complete list, because if you keep reading, he refers to it as Paul. If you keep reading down, look at the verse. It talks about Paul. So Paul wasn't even there. He wasn't at that moment when Christ came back and appeared. So that is not one specific event that happened. He appeared to Peter, then he appeared to the apostles, then to James, then to 500, then to Paul. That happened at different time frames in history, that Paul was just giving a direct testimony of what Christ did.
So you're saying, if what you're saying is true, we all agree that later after Jesus ascended, Paul did come and appeared to Paul, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. But nowhere in Scriptures does it say after he ascended, he came back and spoke to the apostles. So this is a lie, you're saying, is in the Word.
Well, hey, according to, who is it?
According to who?
I want to know what you... According to Bruce, the itinerant theologian, Paul's
who?
Wrong. I'm just...
The itinerant theologian.
I'm just...
Are you referring to yourself in this manner?
No, this is... His name's Bruce.
You went on the line and got some biblical... prophetic knowledge from a guy called Bruce the Itinerant.
He knows Pastor.
Well, you know, I got mine from homie down here at the beer and wine store. He stands out in front and preaches. There's some things we try and forget. All right, Sammy, I've played with you enough. Those are all very... All right. Let's stop and take a look. No, that was very good, Sammy, and I appreciate that. You did an excellent job looking it up. And what we're talking about, you made several mistakes, but we don't have that much time. All right, go.
Actually, your English translation is an incorrect translation. It should read the 11. Did you know that?
Yes. But... we can look at this. That is one.
I'm actually just kidding you guys.
No, it's not.
In the Latin, you know what the Latin Vulgate is?
Yes.
The Latin Vulgate was a translation from the Greek into Latin. Latin's very close to the Greek. So one of the early church fathers by the name of Jerome translated. When he got to this section, he thought it was a mistake. And therefore, in the Latin version, he... took it upon himself to put in 11 instead of 12.
Yes.
But according to all the early documents in the Greek, it does read 12. Yes. But that's, it just shows you how sometimes somebody's transcribing something, they think that the Word of God, somebody made a mistake along the line, so they take it upon themselves to change it. But
Paul did not, well, Pastor, we have heard that Paul has made mistakes before.
Yes, that was Bruce the itinerant.
Bruce the itinerant, yes. All right. Let's take a look at this, Sammy. Sammy is absolutely right when we talk about the 12. They didn't refer to themselves as the 12, but that was like a usage. Let's take a look at some of the things. In Matthew 20:17, now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside. Then one of the 12, in Matthew 26:14, then one of the 12, Matthew 26:20, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. Matthew 26:47, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. Mark 3:13, Jesus went up to the mountainside and called those that wanted, and they waited for him to come. The heading on that one is Jesus appoints the 12. Mark 6:6, he was amazed at their lack of faith. This is a story of when Jesus, there again's a heading, Jesus sends out the 12 was a heading for this one. Mark 6, verse 7, calling the 12 to him. Mark 9:35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12. That was a reference. They didn't use it when they were referring to themselves, right? You ever hate somebody that refers to themselves in the third person like, Bobby loves coffee? Yeah. You know, that's so ridiculous, it's just not normal, right? And it wasn't normal for them to refer to themselves as the 12. They didn't, right? In scriptures, in the accounts, all of the gospels, the accounts were used were 11. But two, it said 11 disciples. They weren't apostles then. Rule number one of Pastor Don sitting over there. What book are we talking about? 1 Corinthians, right? Everybody's referring back to the Gospels, which is good, but we're talking about 1 Corinthians. When it was written, it could be argued that there was 12 apostles at that time. That's one argument, right? Do you agree with that one? Okay. It's in your notes. Okay. So it was not incorrect. He was, when it comes down to the very last part, Sammy got that one correct. In the third sentence where he, instead of calling them the 12, he refers to all the apostles. Because there was a lot more apostles. Stephen was an apostle. At that time, he wasn't. He was one of the 72, but he wasn't even one of the 12, right? But when 1 Corinthians and Paul wrote, he was an apostle. Paul was an apostle. There was many apostles, right? We refer to Pastor Don when he was a police officer, or Pastor Don when he was in high school, right? He wasn't a pastor when he was in high school, but yet that's a reference today given back to that time because of what he is today. Those people were apostles now, but they might not have been then. And when he appeared to the 500, several of them have become apostles since then. Yes, ma'am.
What makes someone an apostle?
It's a gift and calling on their life to go out to be an apostle. It's an acknowledgement. It's part of the fivefold ministry. The basic and best and the easiest translation is someone that goes out and sets up churches and then moves on. Setting up churches, going into places that there's nothing, basically, and starting from scratch. But there's... Can I put one disclaimer to that first? Was James, Jesus' brother, an apostle? The apostle committee. No, actually, he was basically the head apostle in that area. He never left Jerusalem that it's ever spoke about. But yet he's considered an apostle. So that's a rule of thumb. It's just someone that, it's part of the fivefold ministry. It has to do with authority within the body and church as much as it does sitting out and setting up churches. Pastor Don, please.
I was going to say, we actually get the modern word missionary because apostle means sent. And so it's another word that was kind of taken from the Latin. So, but a lot of people will say that, you know, there's no longer apostles today. And that question you asked, very good, because Bob gave a very good answer. It's Christ who, you know, sets a man into that position. It was one of the fivefold ministries in Ephesians. For it to be one of the original 12, we see that they had who had been with Christ from the very beginning of his ministry and a witness of his resurrection. That was the qualification when they put forth Joseph and Matthias. In Acts chapter 1, it says, we've got to choose someone that has been with us the entire time.
Yes, from the beginning, yes.
Some of the churches that don't believe in apostles are for today look at this in 1 Corinthians 15:5, and they'll say, well, one of the qualifications was that there had to be a personal appearance to these other apostles like we see with Paul after his resurrection. Okay, the text... That's the way they would read it, but you got to be careful there because we don't have any other text that really would substantiate that. Do you see what I'm saying? So in the early days, as Bob said, there were other apostles, Apollos and Titus and Timothy. They were all considered apostles, and there were others that are named. But the thing is, we're never told that Christ appeared to them even after his ascension like he did to Paul.
Right.
But yet here we see that there were other apostles that he did appear to. Can we assume that they were that he appeared to everybody or not? So some churches will use that to disqualify the position of apostle today, and others will say, well, that's pretty vague, and to make a doctrinal type of statement on that is kind of a dangerous thing to do. So we definitely believe in men that are apostles, and like I said, there's really the term just means missionaries, men that are anointed by God. They go into areas, they either start churches or they go in to help stabilize them and to... you know, be used kind of as a consultant type of thing. Does that make any sense? Okay.
All right. So all kidding aside, Sammy basically had the idea right last week. But see, you were led astray by one simple verse, right? That was a good lesson. Be careful. when God speaks something to us, don't go look for an itinerant farmer to give you the word of God. Or what is he, an itinerant, what? Theologian, whatever. Yeah, to give you your word. The prophet has set the laundry mat. But no, you were very good with that, Sammy. Give Sammy a hand. Lord knows he needs it. Very good, Sammy. All right. Now, on to... Since we were talking about this, let me throw out one more question. I'll throw out a couple. What the heck? We were talking about the story of the resurrection of Christ and his appearance, right? Everybody knows the story of Jesus on the road meeting two of the apostles, right? What two apostles was it? Can you name them? You met two... Everybody's familiar with the story, right? That Jesus meets the two apostles on the road. What were their names? Two men, two believers. You're absolutely right. You would be surprised how many people... You're absolutely right. How many people believe that two of them were apostles? They get stories so confused, right? I've actually read that in books. Can you believe that? All right, continue with our Bible study here, which, of course, this was a Bible study to begin with, wasn't it? What were we doing? Studying Sammy's Word. But we're going to continue with 1 John. And there was a little change. But we're taking a look, and he was supposed to speak on love. And no coincidence that I get this one, because when everybody looks at me, what do you think about? Love. Because I'm that kind of person, right? Yeah, you take a look at Pastor Don, all mean and grumpy and hard, but me, just the opposite. Just soft and loving. I love everybody. I love the whole world. I even love Barney. But the verse is, and this is a good one, if everybody will follow with me. We don't have much time here, but a lot of this we know, so we're going to, it's really a rehash of stuff we know. Dear friends, let us love one another. I'm sorry, 1 John 4, verse 7. If I didn't say it, I don't remember if I said it. 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Right off, love one another. We're supposed to love everybody, right? That's what the word says. Let us love one another, right? Again, let's go back to Pastor Don. Rule one. Who is this book written to? Was it written to everyone? Right? It was written, most of these letters were written to churches. So they're talking about believers, us sitting in this room loving one another. All right? Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows love. In other words, if you don't have God in your life, you really can't love. If you can't love God, how can you love somebody else? It all starts there. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. All right. Love, love, love. The greatest commandment is love, 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 right? Well, what is he trying to say here? To begin with, when we're talking about love, what is love? Somebody throw me a little love up here on the table. Give me a bushel of love, box of love. What is it then? If you can't see it or feel it, it's a feeling, isn't it? That's what most people think of when they talk about love, is a feeling, right? I love you. But actually, looking at it in a biblical sense, it's an action. Because every time you see love being explained, it's explained how. Not as a feeling, but as an action that comes from it, right? We all know we're supposed, he says to love one another. We know we're supposed to love God. He says to love your neighbor. Do we agree? Do we? Yes? All right, show of hands. Who believes that the word says love your neighbor? All right. Love your enemy. Love your mother and father. Stop. Everyone that's got your hand up, back that up with a verse. Nobody asked you. You didn't have your hand up. You're not in this game. Be quiet. Did you raise your hand? All right. Oh, so she's used to it. Was that my question, Alma? What was my question? I said, where in the Word does it say that? I didn't say you weren't supposed to, Alma. See, you're misquoting me. I said, back that up with a scripture. I asked you a question, and you said, yes, we're supposed to do that. If we have a biblical worldview, what does that mean? We're supposed to look at the world through the Word of God, correct? In the simplest form. So what does the Word of God say? Does it tell us to love our mother and father? What do you always think everything that I asked is a trick question? You agree. Show me a verse. Your neighbor isn't your mother and father. No. Maybe in Southwest, I don't know. I didn't ask that, did I? What did I say? Do we supposed to love our mother and father?
Yes, we are, but it says
honor. There's plenty of people that I show honor to that I don't love. Obama was our president. He had that title. I honored that title, right? You honor authority, but I don't love them necessarily. Figuratively, yes. Let's see. All right, let's go on. Yes, Dwayne. Is there no middle ground? Do you either hate people or you love them, Dwayne? Isn't there some people you like? But like isn't the same as love, is it? So it's not a if or. And that's a good point that you brought up. While I'm talking, anybody can show me that verse. I'd appreciate it. I'm not saying it isn't there. This is a Bible study, correct, Pastor? Bible study, right? Yes. Again, what come out of my mouth?
You said love.
Okay, well, then why are you talking about honor? Don't change the subject.
That's what they said. That's in Matthew 19:19, but that is honor.
That's the itinerant theologian. One simple question. Show me in the Word where it says to love your mother and father. That's all I said. I didn't mean to start such controversy. I mean, that's basic doctrine, isn't it? That you're supposed to love your mother and father, isn't that... Wouldn't everybody consider that godly, to love your mother and father?
No, I got one for you. You said that we are to love God first and
yes.
Love everyone else.
No, I did not say that. First part I said
if
yes.
If we love God, then we can love others.
If you can't love God, you can't love others.
Right.
If you don't have God in your life, you really don't have love.
So if you have God in your heart and
yes.
You love, then you can love your mom and dad. Or your father.
Well, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying show me that in the Word. I believe you.
Yeah, it's part of that.
Where does it say it in the Word? That's all I'm asking. I'm not arguing with you.
It's part of the whole
you're making
concept.
You're trying to make a chronological, logical order, and I agree with it. But I'm just saying show me in the Word where it says that. That was all. What? You bunch of heathens. You hate your mother and father? All right, we won't even...
In Matthew 10:37, it says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So therefore, it says we can love our father and mother and son and daughter.
No, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, but we just can't love them more than the Lord.
You're putting inferences in there, what you think it says. That's not what it says, does it?
Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me...
Is Jesus telling you to love your father and mother?
He doesn't command us to love them. But he doesn't command us to love them, but it
right,
does say that we
can. That's what I'm saying. We love our mother and father. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying, did Jesus command us to do that?
Oh, no.
No.
Not that I found.
Gosh, you're a hating person. Again, I'm throwing around some silly things, but, you know, we can be deceived very easily, right? You have to know your word, period. And don't be deceived by some itinerant theologian speaking different things, right? All right. Now, the point we're going to get back to is love. It's a word that really makes no sense in English. You can't even describe it in English, what it means. Everybody has heard Pastor Don and his story about Peter, right? When he says it three times, you know, do you love me in English? But in the Greek, it means something totally different, right, Pastor? And I believe you said it actually was referring to degrees of love, correct? 20%, 40%, 60%, right? But you know, that doesn't even describe it. There's different degrees in love, but there's different kinds of love. Should we love our enemy the same way we love God? But if we read the word literally in English, it says to love God and love your enemies. So I should love my enemies as much as I love God. You see what I'm saying? We have to understand that the word love in English encompasses so much, where in other languages it's translated from, they have several degrees, they have several types of love. And that's why I think that it's best described love as an action word. You know, the hardest part of love that I've always found was to love yourself. And that stems back from the very first thing that God loves me. How many people here believe God loves them? Why? Ooh, bringing the word back. All right. Yes, he does. And he shows it every day, doesn't he? I wouldn't have another breath. Now, if we can believe that, how many people here love themselves? Raise your hands. See, even those that truly believe it are a little bit hesitant because it just don't feel right to say, I love Bobby. I don't like Sammy. I love me, though, right? It just doesn't feel right saying that, does it? Well, that's prideful. No, that isn't prideful. That's the word of God. If God loves me and I can't love myself, I'm not loving what I'm doing sometimes, most of the time. But what we're talking about is loving what God has created here and what God wants, right? I'm not going to go out and change my gender, right? Wear a wig and I don't know if I could do the voice anyway. I don't know if I could have a feminine voice. Hi, I love you. But I love myself, meaning that God created me. If you can't love yourself, what does the word say? Love your neighbor as yourself. So there is a progressive state to love. If you can't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? If you can't love God, how can you love yourself? One more thing before I forget this one. You can't pick and choose. This is not a Chinese menu. One from part A, one from part B. You know, two egg rolls from down here. Love is an entire package. You pull one out, it doesn't work. Right? What's it? Love your enemy.
All right, love your enemy. Is that the same as, say, loving your brother? I mean...
No.
Of course not. Lowest level?
This is my... It's not a level... Like Pastor Don spoke about, love has different levels. All right. We're to love one another. All right. It's
does
not
it even
equal.
Say love your enemies? It says love,
it
your,
says
enemy.
Love okay. your enemy. But again, there's different degrees within love, like Pastor Don says. Let's pull one that's a little bit easier. It says to love one another. Correct? Everybody, I love all of you, but I love some more. I know some people more. Right? I love them more. That's not a sin, is it? Some people I don't know as well as others, but we should love everybody, but that degree of love makes a difference. The people I've been here with and served for 30-some years, right? There's a closer bond, a closer type of love there than somebody that just come into the body. You love them, but it's not the same degree of love, is it? So you're talking about two different things. There is degrees of love for your enemy, yes. There's certain enemies we shouldn't love. But there are certain ones that we do. And again, it's an action. It's not a feeling. You know? What it is, it's an action that's taken. talking about something that's in the news right now, because we only got 5 minutes. I was just trying to pull something out here that's a little bit pertinent. Does the word say to love the alien or the foreign among you? Then why are we trying to throw them all out? Is that love? What we need to do, and I keep going back to this, like Pastor Don has said so much, it's a biblical worldview. It's not my opinion, right? We know the immigration is screwed up. The laws are completely a mess. When on the books they have laws that if people come here from Haiti, they can't receive refuge or turn around and send back home, period. No questions asked. Somebody comes from Cuba, if they can touch the ground, they're accepted. There's not a fairness there necessarily, but there should be. What we're talking about is what God says, not what the country or the laws say. Those are made up by men. They change with whims, right? Biblical worldview and the way we should look at aliens and foreigners is through the Word of God. Exodus 22:21. Do not mistreat or oppose a foreigner, for you were foreigners in your land. Nobody talks about mistreating, right? Who wants to be mistreated? You shouldn't mistreat. Deuteronomy 10:19. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourself were foreigners in Egypt. Now there, again, you have to read the entire description. What's it say to do? Love the foreigners. Does that mean it's somebody, anybody that gets in here anyway, swims the Rio Grande, sneaks through Canada, takes a submarine through, and comes here illegally? Is that what it's talking about here? Read the second part. It's not that we don't care for them and want the best for them, but they're here illegally. A law is broken. We try and teach just the opposite. Yes, honey? Absolutely. Absolutely. A lawbreaker, whether you're a citizen or a foreigner, should be dealt the same way, right? With punishment, period. That's why we have laws. If we're not going to enforce them, why have them? But what does it say here? For you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. They swam the Nile River or something, snuck into Egypt, right? Is that how they got there? No, they were taken into there, right? So they were there legally. They were taken in. And they're saying that you wanted to be, even though you were taken in as a slave, that you wanted to be treated fairly. And that's why it's talking about... Oh, yes, get his mic. Thank you. Why were they taken in?
Joseph was risen to the second in command, and they were welcomed in from the Pharaoh himself, and they were given the land of Goshen, and that's where his family started, and then they grew and grew and grew, and then another Pharaoh came in power, and then they turned them into slaves, forced them to be slaves.
Did they import any more?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Very good. He's absolutely right. You guys, I can't get over how sharp you are, right? Always listen to what's being said. Thank you. Always listen to what's being said, right? Let's go back and look at it in that light. Since they were there legally, how should they be treated? But they were slaves at the time because they couldn't leave. Right? So even if you were mistreated, it's simply saying that we're terrible as a country as a whole, if you read history, of mistreating people, even those that are come in here legally. I hate to say it. My ancestors, Irish mainly, I'm part Irish, part Scottish, right? Yes, that's all Irishmen are drunks, you know that.
Fighters.
There's a stereotype, right? Are all Irishmen drunks?
Yes.
All Irishmen. It used to be that you either become a cop or a hoodlum, right? You were a priest or a cop's all an Irishman can do. They used to call, if you had a thread hanging off your coat, they called it an Irish pendant, which was the truth. The Gaelic League Hall on Michigan Avenue has a big sign that was took off of another bar. It says, no Chinamen, no black people with a different word there, no Jews, no Irishmen, no Indians allowed. Yes, you would see that sign all over. That was nothing in this country in the 1800s. No, no. But the one difference was why the first group that come here that looked like everybody else, like the Irish, you know, I look like most of you, a little Polish in me maybe, I don't know, was because they were Catholic. It was a different religion. They were demonized because of that. But, you know, we always have to have a class system, it seems, even a caste system almost. But the difference here is we don't have a caste system because most of those people that come over, now their sons, daughters, and stuff are running this country. Amen? There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. You simply do it through a biblical worldview. But my point here today is you can't have a biblical worldview unless you know the Bible. You can have a view and it could be wrong if you listen to the itinerant theologian, right? So make sure and study your word. Ask questions. That's why the pastors are here. You have home group leaders, right? If there's something comes up, ask a question, right? And ask them to show you something, right, in the word. Just because we think it's there doesn't mean it's there. Of course, anybody think love your parents is in there. Of course, it's inferred in several other places, but I don't have time to go to that. But, yes? No, no, go ahead. No, please. Get the microphone to her, please. Yes, you need a microphone. Your voice isn't that loud.
You're talking about immigrants, and yes. I wasn't born in this country, but at that time, my parents could bring me over and be legal resident.
Yes.
But now it's illegal. It's the laws have changed.
That's why I'm saying laws change. The only thing that doesn't change is God's word, and that's what we go by is what God says on what to do, how to treat people right, what is right and what is wrong. Laws come and go. There was laws against abortion, homosexuality. Now we just love. There was a commercial the other day, real fast, subliminal. I know I don't have much time here, and I apologize. We were watching a commercial, and I don't even remember what it was for, but it was, you know, it was about getting up and getting your morning coffee or something. This guy is sneaking out of the room, right? Oh, I told my wife, wait, stop a minute. Let me turn that back. I said, did you see that? She said, what? Guy doesn't want to wake up his wife. Went back, there's another guy laying in bed. All right, we're going to close there. Yeah, I'm sure it was. All right, please.
Okay.
And we're glad
to have
you.
The thing is, there's some books upstairs on immigration. If you want to find out what the Bible says about immigrants,
yes,
read that.
Mm-hmm.
And just to make a quick statement, anybody from all over the world was allowed to come into Israel. Why? Because they were the chosen people of God. And when people came in, it was their duty to teach them and what have you.
Right.
But if you were an immigrant and you came within the borders of Israel and you started preaching a false god, they would execute you. So you could worship in private, but if you publicly proclaimed that there was another god besides Yahweh, your blood was now.
You had to follow all the laws and decrees. In 1 Kings, I remember a story that they were coming in on Sunday, corrupting the people, selling stuff.
Right.
The priest got mad, threw them out, right? But still, they hung around the front gate. He went up over and got boiling water and oil and threw on them, right? Were they doing anything illegal by selling? No, but they weren't following their law to the letter, which was you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath, not Sunday. But I'm using it today's reference.
Right.
Yes. We've got to end here. Alma, please. Give Alma the microphone. After you ask this question, would you close this, please, Alma?
Sure. When you become a U.S. citizen, you have to swear allegiance to this country and renounce anything to any other country. That's part of what, when you become a U.S. citizen.
How can that be true? Is there people that have dual citizenship?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, how can you denounce them and still be a citizen there?
I don't have dual citizenship. I don't know.
I didn't
how
say
they,
you did. I just asked.
I'm just
question.
Saying. I don't See, know the how they did it.
No, Alma, it's not
when,
you. It's the hypocrisy of the law, right?
Oh,
how ridiculous it is. That's all I'm saying. Yes.
Oh,
you're absolutely right, and that's the way it should be. All right? But first, our allegiance should be to who?
God
and country. Always first what? God, then country. Amen?
You have to be a hit and run for
All right. Alma, would you close us, please?
Yes, Lord. We thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for everyone that came out. We thank you for Bob and for all the questions he had us thinking about. And just bless him, Lord, for studying your word, Lord. And may we continue to study your word and become more familiar with it, Lord. And just thank you for today. And thank you for worship downstairs. And may we prepare to worship you with all our heart, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.